With Fidelity Wealth Management, a dedicated advisor can work with you on a comprehensive plan to help you reach your wealth's full potential. Plus, you'll have access to specialists in estate planning strategies. So you're not just growing and protecting your wealth, you're sharing it. More at fidelity.com/wealth. Investment minimums apply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC. When it comes to your finances, go for the credit card that's always there for you. With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, that means no more waiting for, quote, normal business hours just to get a hold of someone. We're talking real service from real people whenever you need it. Get the customer service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card. Welcome to the Jill on Money Show. It's Thursday, March 7th, and we are here answering financial questions for you. If you have one, just go to our website, jillonmoney.com, click the Contact Us button, and let us know if you would be willing to come on the air. Now, while you're on the website, there's all sorts of great stuff. There's the blog, there's the free weekly newsletter, and there is my book, The Great Money Reset. And I love that bookmark because all of a sudden, it seems to be selling quite well in paperback. Isn't that funny? Like, I didn't really do much. Okay, so this is so much fun because I love when I hear from people all over the world who stumble upon us. This was actually from a colleague of mine who is in Italy, and he writes, Jill, I am biased because I already liked you, but I came across your podcast the other day randomly while jogging, and I've become a follower, and I just love it. I love the interaction with your callers. It's interesting and informative, and yes, fun. Anyway, you're here with me cooking dinner tonight in Italy. Nice work. I hope you're well. Isn't that fun, Mark?
Ah, la dolce vita.
You could be with our pal, our old pal, and here he is finding us just randomly also. Yeah. So it's great.
I like the randomness thing. How does that happen?
Well, it's like suggests to you, like on Spotify or on one of these, you know, I guess the algorithm, you listen to something about money and then it says you might like. Of course, I don't do that.
And you never know who's listening. You never know. George Clooney could be downloading every single day. You never know.
He probably is. He is, you know, on Lake Como living his life. And yes, there he is. And his lovely bride. All right. Let's do some emails right now. This is from Anonymous, who essentially is asking about how to gift money to her adult son. Okay. My son will be 25 this year. And he has accomplished a lot. He's got a graduate degree from a great school, 2 years at a startup, $100,000 in investments and savings. He started a sabbatical. A sabbatical at age 25? Okay, whatever. That's me. He has started a sabbatical, maybe a permanent thing, to focus on creative pursuits. I'm not supporting him financially. He pays all of his own bills. He pays me every month for his portion of my employer's health insurance premium, which, by the way, is only lasting until he's 26 anyway. But I worry he's losing out on a 401k or an IRA since he has no income right now. I want to make sure he maxes out his annual IRA, so I would like to contribute the max. But I want to do it in a way that doesn't affect my regular savings and investment goals. What I'd like to do is use my company RSUs and gift them to him directly to his IRA. Oh, okay, Anonymous. First of all, thank you, Mark. He needs to have earned income to make a contribution to a retirement account. Now, if you'd like to just gift him your RSUs from your large, well-known company and directly gift it to him, that's fine. You can do that. But I would also offer a little bit of guidance here, which is this is his choice. I'm not exactly sure where we have lost the thread on this, but I just wrote about this on the website, on our blog, about financial interdependence, because there's that Pew Research poll that found so much money that is going to the younger generation. I mean, look, maybe Anonymous has tons of money and she's happy to give him this money, but like, isn't this his choice to live the creative life? I do think it kind of depends on, you know, like, who your kids are, what's going on in your own life. I do get that. I'm not saying that you shouldn't help your kids out. We talk about people all the time who help their kids out. The question is whether Anonymous can afford to do it. And if she can't afford to do it, should she? There's the battle right there.
I would say he's got about 4 years to really figure it out.
Yeah, I like giving him a time-bound experiment also. I think you're right. That's good. Okay. This is from Kay, 65 years old, still working and plan to work till age 70. I have emergency reserve funds, $42,000, and I have $1.5 million in my 401k. I own a house that's worth, at the low end, $1.5 million with a mortgage balance of $600,000 at 2.5%. I had student loans. Oh, parent plus loans. She still has. Student loans, which are parent plus loans, of $120,000. Yowza. Going to need a car soon, waiting till my old one dies. Oh my God, very soon perhaps, because my mileage is 300,000. I will need to repair my house. 4 bathrooms that are leaky, which should cost about $100,000 in renovations. My only source of money is that 401k. Should I borrow from my 401k that will charge me 9% interest? Should I get a home equity loan? Can you take an in-service withdrawal? Can you take that? Some plans allow you, once you're over 59 and a half, to take an in-service withdrawal of your 401k, and then you would just pay tax on whatever you pull out. I think that you have to kind of tier this in terms of your needs, but first of all, do not put any more money into your retirement account above whatever your matching contribution is. Funnel everything into your emergency reserves, and then maybe find out if you can take some money out of the retirement account a little bit at a time, you know, maybe $25,000 now. And do one, I don't know, do you have to do 4 bathrooms at once? I wouldn't do a home equity line of credit. If you can't take money out of the 401k, I guess you could borrow from the 401k. So,
and if for some reason she's like maxing out the 401k and doing the catch up for being over 50, like stop that and just use that cash.
Yeah, agreed. Okay, Sean is a huge fan. He writes, let me read it verbatim. I'm a huge fan of you and Mark. See that, Mark? I listen to your show every morning on my long commute to work on the West Coast. I have a question for you regarding the number of funds one should own in a brokerage account. I have a Betterment account and they have 29 exchange-traded funds in the account. I know that you are a supporter of the platform. Is 29 an overkill? I hear you and Mark suggest just a few funds to avoid overlap. I really like the low-cost fees, the tax loss harvesting in this account. Thank you, Sean. 29 does seem like a lot, Mark, doesn't it? I mean, I guess they are low cost and Betterment has the robo platform and they are probably divvying it up in that way simply for maybe for ease of the tax loss harvesting or maybe to make it hard to leave. Because we have heard from people that it's hard to close a brokerage account at Betterment and transfer the funds, right?
Yeah. I mean, when I read this, it just bums me out.
It bums me out. We loved them.
There's no reason whatsoever why you should have 29 ETFs. Absolutely no reason.
Yeah. So, okay. So I think that this is something that I would look into. I also think, I mean, if it's not, it kind of bums me out, but on the other hand, if it's not like net, if it's not costing you too much money and you like this platform and you like the tax loss harvesting, maybe it's not the worst thing in the world. I just feel like, hey, someone from Betterment, how about you give us a holler and tell us why you need 29 funds?
You can chop off about 20 of those funds and that's still probably too much.
It's fine. Yeah, exactly. This is from Brian. Subject, is it better to buy a home in retirement in case or carry a mortgage? Hi, Jill and Mark. Thanks for all you do each day. I love listening to another one during the commute. I'm looking to do a reset and move from Seattle, Washington to Colorado in the next 3 to 5 years, then retire at age 60 if possible. Our house in Seattle is worth $2.1 million and we owe $735,000. When we sell, is it best to just buy the next house in Colorado for cash or carry a mortgage and use the money that's not put down on the house and put it into investments, retirement. Here's some of the stats. I'm 52. My wife is 50. Two kids, one launch, the other in college, but living off of her UTMA account. No cost for that. Okay. I make about $350,000 a year. My wife makes $40,000. Income should go down when we move to Colorado to probably $100,000, but could be more. My wife will start teaching at a college and she'll probably make about $65,000. So they're going to go from making, you know, almost 400 to making 165, 150, 165. Okay, what's this guy got? $383,000 in a 401k, mix of traditional and Roth. Contribute 5% with company matching up to $6,000. Traditional IRA, $19,000. Roth IRA, $10,000. Wife's SEP IRA, $52,000. $50,000 emergency reserve. Portfolio account, an AI portfolio account, $2,500. Crypto, $1,000. HSAs, $10,000. One unknown is an expected inheritance of about $600,000 to $800,000, trying to assume that's not going to happen. I got to tell you something. These numbers don't look great, my man. Brian, how are you doing this? Like, I don't know what your expenses are, but you don't have a lot of money. Am I missing something? I mean, I don't think you can afford to buy something in cash unless, I mean, and I'm not even sure this whole 60 thing is going to happen. The numbers look short to me. Even if you were to get that inheritance, am I missing a pension? Like, what's happening here? What am I missing, Mark?
Hopefully you're missing a pension. And he doesn't say what the potential new house would cost. Maybe it's going to be way less than what they would, you know, net.
Yeah, well, he needs an extra $1 million at the very least. And I don't think he's retiring at age 60. So I'll tell you what, Brian, give us a follow-up here. We'd love to bring you on the air and talk more about your game plan. Okay, good. Here we have from Greg, who says, my wife was gifted 2,000 shares of AMNB. That is American National Bank shares. This was she was gifted this in the year 2000. At that time, the price was $15 a share. Now, until last year, we reinvested the dividend. We now have 4,740 shares. Price is 44.5. Both of her parents have died. She does not have any sentimental attachment to the stock, and it makes up 15% of our net worth, not including our house and our two rental properties. How do you know which stock to sell? The shares priced at 15 or the ones that are 44? Okay, hold on a second. You're going to have a huge tax hit on this. Here's the deal. When she was gifted the shares in the year 2000, that meant that she was gifted those shares, again, presuming they were gifted, not inherited, that she was gifted those shares at whatever the cost basis was for her parents. Okay? Now, the thing is, you probably have no idea what that is. So you might as well just, I presume, unless you have that number, again, the cost basis when you gift something is the cost basis that the person who's making the gift had. So it's not that time when you actually got the gift. It's whenever they bought it. You probably don't have that price. So even if you just said, well, my best guess is, you know, they bought it at 10. They gifted to us when it was 15, whatever. Now, from the moment you got the shares until you have this reinvested dividend share amount, the company or the brokerage company should tell you what your cost basis is. They will tell you what the adjusted cost basis is. So the deal is that my best bet is that you need to work on this to kind of figure out just how your tax liability is going to hit you. Now, the extra side note is that this company is being purchased by another bank. And so when that happens, those shares are going to get taken out anyway. You're going to have a taxable event. So I might as well just, you know, frankly, sell it and pay the tax that's due. The worst case scenario is that you're in the top tax rate of 23.8% on the gains. Now, if that's the case, so be it. It's not that big a deal, gang. You pay the tax that's due, you know, about a quarter of this will get lopped off and you pay the tax and that's that. But there's not an easy way to go figure out what exactly the cost basis was for her parents. So you're going to have to make a best faith estimate and pay the tax that's due. And I would just sell the whole thing. I would just be done. If you, I mean, who cares? It's going to be taken over anyway. So you might as well just get out of it. And I would certainly pay the tax before there's any change in tax rates. Okay, last one. This is from Mark. And the subject is, are we on track? I'm worrying about college for the kids. Okay. Hello, Jill. I love the show. I listen to all the podcasts over and over. Oh my gosh. Mark's 47 and a half. Wife is 45 and a half. Two kids, 13 and 9. They make, oh, too bad, Mark. You know how I read this? I read it as $2 million a year, but it's $200,000. $500,000 house, 30 grand left on the mortgage, no other debt. $130,000 in cash. Here's what the numbers look like. $1,465,000 in a 401k, of which $300,000 is Roth. $165,000 in brokerage. And this is mostly earmarked for the kids' college. They invest $2,000 a month into 401ks, $1,000 a month into brokerage, $7,500 in monthly expenses. What should we change? Why are we putting money into a brokerage account? Why not 529 accounts?
I'm paying capital gains.
Yeah, not worth it, gang. So what I would do is I would take this brokerage account money and I would open two 529 accounts. I don't know where you live, but hopefully where you live, you get a tax incentive for doing that. And if you need help choosing a 529 plan, just follow up with us and redirect. Let's get this money into 529. Gang, 529, it's like a Roth for college education. You know, it's so fabulous. You put the money in, it grows without taxation. Money comes out to pay for your college expenses, their college expenses, and it's not pulled out with any capital gains. In a brokerage account, you're going to have to pay capital gains. So I think the answer is redirect that cash flow into a 529, redirect some of the actual money in brokerage into a 529. That's what we would change. Okay, that's it. That's the show. We are so happy that you join us every single day. Don't forget to check out all the content that lives on our website, jillonmoney.com. While you're there, whenever you have a question, click on the Contact Us button. Let us know if you want to join us on the air, because then we get to ask all of these follow-up questions and it makes it a lot easier. Do something nice for someone else today. Change your work, change your wealth, change your life. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.